Folks, thank you for being so kind to me, my family. It has been such a joy, true joy, to be here with you. We've enjoyed every second of these past few days. Can't believe how fast, Brother Donald, time has gone. It's Sunday night already. I'm not, as Brother Rich kind of alluded to, I'm not a person that goes around and travels preaching. That's if that's what the Lord wills, I'll follow. But we're just faithful at our church in Holyoke. So to get this opportunity is such a blessing for us. We've had such a great time. As Brother Ritz just mentioned, my son has been looking forward to this for at least a month, right? I mean, he's been asking us every day, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Are we going to Michigan? And he's just so excited. He loves Pastor Rich. He's his hero and just loves being here with you all. But you've been so kind to us, so many kind words and just your hospitality. We just really, truly appreciate that. This is such a great church. Folks, you have a great church. And I know I come from a great church as well, and oftentimes I take that for granted. And I don't realize it. And sometimes it takes somebody coming in to just remind you of that. Be thankful for what you have there. There's something special going on at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. You have a great preacher. Man of God who loves you. It's very evident he has a relationship with God. And you have a man that wants to lead you and I believe has great plans with God's help for what God wants to do with this place. And you have a youth pastor who loves teens. And he looks like a teen. I mean, sorry, bro. But I love you guys. I am so just, I don't think, I have to apologize because I think I've had too much fun these past couple days. I don't think ministry is supposed to be this fun, brother, you know? You hear about so many people in the ministry and how difficult it is, and this has been a blast. Brother Donald and I have had so much fun together. We're like two little kids. Not just we look like that, but we act like that and we're together. And we're not related. Many of you have asked if we're related. We're not related, thankfully. But I love Brother Donald. In all truthfulness, though, and being a little more serious, the Bible talks about a great story of David and Jonathan. Just close friends. And how God can kind of knit your heart to somebody. And I believe he's done that, brother. And we've just been able to just kind of connect and encourage each other. And now we're both youth pastors. And I give him ideas. He gives me ideas. I give him gross food game ideas, brother. And he gives me ideas of things to do in church. And we encourage each other. And I want to encourage you to get a friend like that. A friend that you can talk to and a friend that you can open up to and just help you. He's a help to me. And in all seriousness, this is a true privilege for me. Brother, thank you so much for inviting me. Brother Rich, I don't deserve this opportunity. Brother Rich, Brother Donald know hundreds of preachers. They could have had anybody come in. And I'm so humbled at just this chance. And you all have been so kind. I really appreciate you. Appreciate your time. My wife, Rachel, and my boys do as well. Thank you for that great offertory tonight. That was a blessing. I really enjoyed that with a flute. Thank you for just all the great servants of this church. I was amazed yesterday. All the people in different areas. The hours spent, Brother Keith and Brother Stephen just putting their heart into this, and that's a sign of a healthy church, that you're a part of it. When something's going on, you just get behind your pastor and keep doing that. Folks, I'm sure Brother Rich has some tough times. I'm sure Brother Donald gets discouraged sometimes. You know, they probably never tell you. You might never notice. Make sure you're an encouragement to them. Make sure you pray for them. You know, I heard it said just a couple weeks ago, the devil has a target on you maybe about this big. The target on them is about this big, if not bigger. Because if he can discourage the preacher, he's discouraging everybody else. So make sure you pray for him, encourage him, be a blessing to him. And I know you all do that. I'm just trying to encourage you tonight. But it's so good to see you, so good to see so many new faces. I almost said so good to see so many old faces. So good to see so many familiar faces from last year. Can't believe it's just been just a year, but we really enjoy, I remember so many of your great testimonies and getting a chance to spend time with you. It's been just such a blessing. If you would turn, please, we're going to go to two places tonight. We will not be long. 2 Corinthians, we'll start this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Pastor felt bad this morning for telling me I only had about 20 minutes to preach because of all of the events in the service. But thankfully for me, I normally only preach about 25 minutes, so I just had to cut off a few minutes, and that was no problem for me. I do not preach long. If I slowed down and actually pronounced my words, I would probably have a full sermon, but I have always preached fast. I channel my nerves into energy, and we just move quickly, so I apologize for that. If you can't follow me, I'm sorry. Maybe we can get a copy of it and slow it down for you. But tonight is going to be a little bit different. I'll be honest. This morning, yesterday were sermons I had prayed about. I knew 100% what the Lord gave me. One of the sermons yesterday was new, but the other things I've preached since I've been here are things I've preached before. And I had a sermon that I preached before ready to go tonight, and the Lord kind of changed direction. And I really believe, folks, that this is what God has tonight. It's a little more specific, not a typical sermon for me. I'll apologize right now. I don't have great illustrations. I don't have nice alliterated points. I'm just going to speak my heart to you tonight. And I just want to be a help. As Brother Rich said, we just want to be a help. So many people have helped me. Preachers helped me. And we just want to be a help to you tonight. And we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I like to read in verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. The Bible says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now keep that thought in mind. Turn over to Mark, please. Mark chapter 9. The verse we just read says, "We are not ignorant of his devices." Can I tell you something, friends? Satan is not young. He's been around for a long time. And there it should be no new thing that he does. There is no secret temptation that he's not coming up with new plans. He is doing the same thing now that he's done for thousands of years on this earth. And we can find all throughout scripture and all throughout history how Satan has worked. And that verse said is lest we should not be ignorant of his devices. We can learn how Satan works. Just like every single one of us, I'm sure, you have tried personally to try to find out what God's will is for your life. Find out how God works, and we learn more about God. But I believe it's wise, as Donald said earlier, we're supposed to learn a little bit about the devil. Learn about how the devil works. Do you realize God has a will for you, but the devil has a will for you too? Satan has a plan for your life. Satan has somewhere that he would like you to be. He wants to destroy you, friend. He doesn't have good plans for you. He's walking around this earth seeking who he may devour, like a roaring lion. And we should not be ignorant of how he attacks. It's pretty evident, to be honest. Satan knows our weaknesses. Job is a great story of that. I preached this to our teens a few weeks ago, but this is such a great thought. Satan thinks he's got you figured out. He thought he had Job figured out. God, just take away all he has. You blessed him too much. And he didn't have him figured out, did he? Satan thinks he's got you pegged. Hey, if I can just tempt him with this, he'll fall. If I could just take this away from her, she'll leave me. Or she'll leave you. That's what he thinks and says that to God. But let's not let him have us figured out. And let's know his devices. He knows right where to attack. I believe that he wants to destroy that which God has created. I believe that Satan wants to destroy. That's where he goes first. The things that God's created. The things that God has instituted. Where is he attacked in our country? Creation. Can't speak or preach creation anymore because people, why? Because it's a direct attack on God. I believe it takes more faith. I really think it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. To believe that something can come from nothing, and you keep asking questions and you get down to these organisms. And, man, it takes a lot more faith to believe that than to believe that there's some creator that did all of that. And Satan attacks those areas. And I believe the area he attacks the most tonight, and the area I'd like to preach on just for you for a few minutes, he attacks the church, but he specifically attacks the church by attacking the family. And I'd like to preach just for a couple minutes about how Satan is aiming to destroy the Christian family. Dear Lord, I pray you'll help us tonight. We will not be long. Father, I need your help tonight. Lord, you have burdened me. Lord, I don't know hearts. I don't know anything about what's going on in the lives of these people tonight. But Lord, I know the devil. And I know he wants to destroy marriages. Lord, he wants to destroy parent-child relationships. Father, and in doing so, he destroys churches. He destroys so much of what you want to accomplish. God, I pray you'll strengthen us tonight as families. Lord, please work tonight. We need your help. Can't do it without you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're in Mark chapter
Mark chapter 10. Verse number 5. Mark chapter 10, verse number 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." Amen. I remember that experience. July 27th, 2007. I left my father and mother. And that was tough for me. It's going to be 6 years almost. We got married in South Dakota. God blessed us with an amazing, Lord worked all the plans out. We were able to have an incredible honeymoon in Hawaii. We came back to South Dakota, packed up all of our stuff, and drove to New England. And haven't left since. And that experience was God. God put that together. I could tell you my whole testimony tonight, and we don't have really the time, and I don't want to bore you with it, but I could show you instances, folks, and I'm sure you could do the same, of how God had a hand in you meeting your spouse, to bring you to the right time and place, the paths that you walked. It was not an accident. I used to think growing up as a child or even a teenager that you could really marry any number of people and work things out with them. And I've come to find out that that's false. There is one person I was supposed to marry. One person. God put that together. Wherefore, we read it, verse 9. What therefore God, or we haven't gotten there yet. Verse number 8 says, "They twain shall be one flesh." So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. "What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Friend, God has put that together. Your marriage is from God. Not you, not any working by yourself. And we saw it. When we had the talk, I remember at college, we had the talk. I was so nervous. I had never been so nervous in my life. I knew it was time to talk to her, tell her how I felt. She told me how she felt. And that night at college, I was a senior at college, and I already knew what I was looking for. I didn't have any dates in college up to that point. God incredibly worked things out. And that night that we talked about maybe wanting to start dating and doing things God's way, we said we'd like to get married someday. And teenagers, children, the purpose of dating, if you want to call it dating, I know there's several different terms, but the purpose is marriage. The purpose is marriage. It's not to have fun. It's not for companionship. It's not because everybody else is doing it. It's not because you're lonely. It's not because of fill in the blank. It's for marriage. You date so that you can get married. It's just a step in the process of following God's will to marry the right person. Don't just date because it's fun or because you like somebody. And I'm sorry, I've told our teenagers this. I don't think the teenagers know what real love is. I'm sorry. I've been married for 6 years and I'm just really kind of starting to learn it now. And these 10, 12 years old said, "I love her." Sure you do. Don't even know what that means. What real love is. But God has put that together. And we've seen God's hand. And we talked about it, how I couldn't believe that she felt the same way I did, that God was in this thing. The first time I met her family, I flew out to South Dakota. The last night that I was there visiting, her dad sat me down and asked me when I was going to propose to her. That normally doesn't happen, in case you don't know. It's normally the opposite. He sat me down and basically proposed to me, "When are you going to marry her?" And I wanted to say, "Slow down," you know. But the parents were, the first time my parents met Rachel, my dad said to me, I think you're going to end up marrying her someday. Because God was in it. God put that together. It wasn't anything that we did, but it was God. And what the devil wants to do is to destroy what God put together. He wants to destroy that. He wants to destroy our marriages. He wants to destroy what marriage means. We live in a country now, we live in a day and age when the word marriage is kind of a broad term, when the word marriage is being redefined as we know it. I live in Massachusetts, one of the most liberal parts of the country, and it is disgusting. I'm sorry, it's disgusting what we're doing to the word marriage. The Bible says man and wife. It says it right there in the passage. Created them male and female. It's pretty easy to understand that. And we live in a society when we're trying to change what God said. I didn't make that up. God did. It's in the Bible. And Satan is attacking the very foundation of what God has made. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Marriage is marrying the right person. And marriage is about marrying at the right time. And marriage is for life. Let no man put asunder. Let no man put asunder. Think of the vows. I think oftentimes we make these vows and we don't think about them years down the road. We said sickness and in health. We said for better, for worse. And if you've married any number of times, you've had a lot of better and you've had a lot of worse. And you got to stick through it. Those vows that you made, God put that together. He wants to not just destroy marriages, he wants to destroy our relationships within our family, with our children, with other family members. He wants to pit family member against family member. And that's all Satan's doing. And my main thought, I'm going to get to this in a minute, but church, I'm just speaking my heart to you tonight, that I believe that the devil attacks it in such a way that we don't even realize it. And we spend so much time worrying about our careers, worrying about, some of us, our ministry, worrying about so many other things, our image, our possessions, our finances, that we often neglect the most important thing God has given us outside of salvation, our family. God joined us together. And we build all these other relationships and we add to them and we maintain them and we care for them. And we often treat our family like dirt. And don't show them the true love and the true care and the true respect that they deserve. And I believe that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants to put that wedge in there. You're having a hard time maybe communicating to your spouse or your child? That's because that's what Satan wants. And we need to recognize that. That's where he's attacking. That's where he wants to get you. He's attacking those things. Just a couple of things tonight. Again, no real special points. If you're taking notes, it'd kind of be a mess. So I'll just give these to you tonight. But several things that we need to do to help keep our marriage, our families. Number one, we need to lead them. First of all, fathers need to be the head of the household. The Bible says that. You can read in several different passages in the Bible where the Bible talks about the man being the head of the house. It hasn't taken me long raising two children to find out how important it is that my boys have daddy. They need a daddy in their life. They need a father. I found some interesting statistics about children from fatherless homes. Listen to this. Children from fatherless homes account for 60% of America's rapists, 63% of America's youth suicides, 70% of America's long-term prison inmates, 70% of America's reform school attendees, 71% of America's high school dropouts, 85% of America's youth prisoners, 85% of America's youth with behavioral disorders, and 90% of America's runaways, children without fathers. They need you. Your kids need you. They need a father. They need a dad. We need to lead them. Fathers need to lead, but also mothers and fathers need to lead their children. And how do you lead? You lead by example. We must be, and again, I've only been married a few years, and many of you have so much more experience than me. I'm just trying to help tonight and tell you some things from God's Word. But these are just things that I am still learning. I'm by no means an expert in any of this. But we are to lead by example. How foolish would it be for me to tell my child to do something I'm not doing myself? They see us. They watch us. Jude always has eyes on me. Right, Jude? Watching me right now. See him smile. And they follow everything we do. They follow the things we say. If you're in the car and somebody cuts you off and you say something you shouldn't say, they'll copy it. If you do something you shouldn't do, they're there watching you. And we need to be that example. Give them that example. Give them that godly example of how we're supposed to live. And we need to lead them. Families must be led. How do you do that? You establish a foundation. Establish a foundation, a standard. What is the standard by which you lead your family? Is it so that you can have success someday? Is it so that you can just have a nice house, a nice car? What do you go back to? What does everything boil down to? I'm telling you, friend, if you do not have your standards in God's Word, if you don't have everything founded upon these principles, that foundation will fall. Think of the story of the wise man and the foolish man building a house on the sand and a house on the rock. And we need to build our families. Church, we need to build our families on the rock. They must be founded upon that. I can't stand hearing of people saying, well, I couldn't be at church tonight because I was spending time with my family. Hey, bring your family to church. That's family time. I'm having family time now with my family. One of them's in the nursery. But that's our family time. It's church. We love church. My kids love church. And I want them to love God's house. And you found those things. I grew up that way. I grew up always at church. We were always the last family with my pastor. Everyone left and it was just my family and pastor's family. That's how I was raised. And I believe that's how it should be. Not that we should all be the last family here with pastor. But we should be raised as a foundation, having God first. Your family knows that. And I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd tonight. I don't know your life. I don't know any of you. But maybe you're struggling with faithfulness. And if for no other reason, for your family's sake, be faithful. Yes. Your kids depend upon that. Your kids need to know that no matter what happens, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever activity, you're going to be in God's house. Amen. They depend on those things. And we probably don't realize how often our decisions affect our family. But we should be that godly example and have a pattern for them. We should set that spiritual standard in having a relationship with God and praying with your family. I love praying with my family, praying with my kids. And it's important, friend. It's necessary to have that spiritual standard and to set that and to lead by example. Not only should we lead them, but we also need to maintain our family, to strengthen it. Spoke about this earlier, but we spend so much time, you know, caring about our job and caring about other things. But our family, let's spend time. When's the last time you spent time trying to be a better husband? Preaching to myself tonight. Trying to be a better wife. Not preaching to myself there. I can only be a better husband. Trying to be better children. Trying to love your parents more. Trying to encourage your mom or your dad. Show them how much you appreciate them. We spend time building all these things, but neglecting the things that are so important. Let's maintain it and build it and strengthen it and work towards it. And I think it's so important just to have balance. Well, I grew up in a family and my parents were very balanced. Balance things. I'm sure many of you have jobs. Many of you work hard. Just balance that. You can balance family in a job. You can balance family and ministry, but learn that balance. Don't let it get out of whack and keep things in balance. We're not only to lead them, maintain them, but also to love them. Bible says to love them as Christ loved the church. How did Christ show his love for the church? He gave himself for it. In giving ourselves for our family, love should be spoken. And love is also, just as if not more importantly, it's shown. How foolish would it be if I told my wife I loved her and then did something wrong, did something to destroy our marriage? Love is not just said, but it's shown by our lives. The Bible says that God showed, God commended his love for us, that God demonstrated his love for us by giving his son Jesus. He demonstrated. God just didn't say I love you, but he showed us how much he loved us by giving us Jesus. And if you love your family, it's good to say you love them, but let's show it. Yes. Let's show it by how we treat them, by how we speak to them, by how we act around them. Not always arguing and bickering and fighting about stupid things. I never do that. Come on, let's be honest. We all struggle with these things. Look at the bigger picture. Let's be selfless and just show our family how much we love them. Show them. Kids, maybe do the chores every once in a while that you weren't asked to do. Do the laundry without your mom asking. And all the mom said, there's a couple of them, doing things just to show them. Show them I love you. Getting them gifts and helping with things and just being there for them. We need to show our family. I think oftentimes it's something I need to work more. It's just showing my family how much I love them. I know they know that, but showing that, demonstrating that. Maintaining that love. We're supposed to love them and show them and demonstrate it. We're also, for our family, supposed to cherish it. We had, my wife found a reading or a video that we had somebody read for our Mother's Day program, and it listed a lot of the experiences of motherhood. Like holding your babies and smelling their hair after it's been rubbed with the Dove baby soap and just smelling that, and the experience of having babies and watching them grow up and eventually having them leave the house. And you know what the point of that whole video was? Is that the thing that this mother enjoyed the most was just ordinary days with her kids. Just snuggling together and spending time together. And that's what we need to do, is cherish it. Cherish the family. Folks, we have a very limited time on this earth. We don't know. We don't know what the Lord's plans are. Cherish your time. That's why we can't have problems like this morning. I preached on forgiveness and bitterness and anger. We can't have that stuff because you don't know. We don't know life. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. We don't know how long our life is. And we don't want to end on that note. But you need to cherish the time that you have. Enjoy it. I live several hundred miles away from my family. We live in Western Massachusetts. My family lives in Pennsylvania. We get to see them about two times, maybe three times a year. And I'll tell you what, as difficult as that is being far away from them, when we're together, we have a great time. We plan things, try to plan things. Plans never seem to, in my family, never seems to go how we want to do them. But we have so much fun together. And we just enjoy every minute. We're not just next to each other, ignoring each other, but enjoying each other's company. Let's cherish our families. Cherish your wives. Cherish your husbands. Cherish your children. Cherish your parents. So many people told me, you know, I love when people give you advice to your kids, you know, this and this. And I look at that as just advice. It's a lot of it is, you know, garbage. A lot of it is good advice. But you know what my favorite stage is with kids? Every stage. I enjoy the baby. I enjoy toddler. I've enjoyed my oldest son's not even four yet. So that's as far as we've gotten. But every stage has been awesome. We love it. And then we had a second child so we could go back and start over again and enjoy the beginning stages. But you know what? Everyone is great. I don't wish that they were 20 right now. And when they're 20, I'll be happy that they're 20. I don't want to go back. It's enjoying every single stage of life, cherishing it, and making it precious and appreciating it and showing that appreciation. Just a couple more things. We'll be done tonight. But I believe we're also supposed to do our best to understand our family. Understand your spouse. Put yourself in their shoes. Oftentimes, that's what we fail to do. And I think maybe, I don't want to get hurt here, but maybe I could speak on behalf of men. Maybe we don't do that enough. Let's try to understand our wives and understand where they're coming from and try to be a help to them in that way. But understand each other. And I think that helps. Dying to self. Understand our kids. Our kids have needs. My kids have needs. My oldest son, Jude, is wound up. And that's the way God made him. I asked my parents just this past weekend, I said, was I like that? And they said I wasn't. And I know my wife wasn't, so I don't know where it came from. But he needs to get that energy out. Yeah. And as a parent, if I bottle him up and I tie him up all day, he's going to go crazy. So I need to understand that he needs to get that energy out. And there's a time and a place to do that. Put him upstairs in the treadmill or something. But I need to understand him, understand his needs, understand what he wants and take care of those. But understanding each other. And you know, an important way of understanding each other, I think many of us struggle with this, is communication. Communicate with our family. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to communicate feelings and emotions and how you love and care for them. Just two more things tonight that we need to do for our families. The next one is we need to protect them. Protect our family. Set up some boundaries. Set up some parameters and just protect them. Guys, it's our job to protect our family. My wife always teases me. In our house where we live, I don't have a gun or anything. I have a baseball bat. And I wear contacts. And when I have my contacts out, I am as blind as a bat. My last doctor visit, my doctor said, can you read me the bottom letters there on the wall? And I said, what letters? I didn't even know. I couldn't see anything. And so some nights, if I hear a noise, I go downstairs with a baseball bat. I can't see anything, man. I don't know what's what. I'll just start swinging. But I know it's my job as a father to protect my family. Can you imagine how foolish I'd be if I laid in bed, honey, why don't you go down and check and see what that noise is, you know? Go down and would you see if there's a burglar down there and, you know, let me know if everything's okay. No, it's my job to protect them as a father. But it's also our job to protect our kids and to protect them and be careful. And my pastor preached a great sermon on Mother's Day about how, as parents, we need to work better at protecting our kids. He said how nosy, it's important to be nosy. My kids, if he gets a cell phone when he's 25... not 10 like these other teens. I mean, don't hold me to that. But I'm going to go through a cell phone. And I'll know everything that he's looking at and every text message because he's my child. I want to protect him. And I believe that it all goes, part of that is our parents. We need to do our best to protect them. And then lastly, we need to promote our families. Promote family. And I can say from experience, this is something my parents did a great job at, is promoting family. Oftentimes my dad would, I'd ask if I could go out with my friends. My dad said no. But I said, well, can I go out with my brother? And he said, sure. So I was kind of forced to spend time with my family. But can I tell you, my four really good, closest friends are probably my four brothers. I'm a family from all five boys. I'm the rose in the middle of the four thorns. Don't ask my parents about that. But I learned to put family first, and we took vacations together and spent time together. We learned how to have fun and without doing a whole lot, you know, like throwing Legos at each other and wrestling and just things that, you know, don't really cost a whole lot, playing together in the backyard, but promoting family. Not all going in separate rooms when we're together, but spending time together. Real good, true time together. I enjoyed just a few days ago before we left, my wife and I stayed up late just talking. Not watching TV, doing anything, but just talking, enjoying each other's company. And oftentimes we don't do that. We think, you know, let's get together and watch a movie, and then someone tries to say something to you, and shh. Yeah, you're really enjoying their company. Yeah, it's great to sit next to them and tell them to be quiet and you know, quit bothering you. But promoting family. Promote your family. Don't just ignore it every time. And I know teens, or at least kids, they struggle at this. Man, you get home and you lock yourself in your room. Spend time and talk to your parents. Spend time with them and help them out. And just be in the same room as them. It's so important. You can close your Bibles, friends. We're done tonight. I believe that the devil is attacking the family. I believe he is. I believe that he wants to destroy your family. I believe he wants to destroy my family. What are we doing about that? What are we doing to help that? What are we doing against that? Are we ignorant of his devices? Or are we going to fight back and fight for our families? Stick with it in tough times. Care for them when things aren't too good. And not let Satan tear away what God has put together. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.